Welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm very pleased to be speaking with Eileen Bianchini, who is the head of the Gospel of Life Society in Connecticut. Could you tell us a little bit about your background as a new guest and a little bit about the Gospel of Life Society, please?
Hi, Mom. I'm with the Gospel of Life Society. I'm the chairperson for that society. I'm also with the Connecticut Right to Life. I'm on the board, but we're here to talk about the society today. I approached the society. It's actually inspired and had been run by Father Markey at St. Mary's in Norwalk. And I approached them with a project idea I had. I'm also a Third Order Franciscan. And I was a little disappointed to see that the culture of death was picking up momentum. And as a Third Order Franciscan, I had been praying for a couple of years as to what to do. I felt I needed to do something about it. And I approached Father Markey with an idea that I had that we need to teach people who had not been catechized for many years. You and I were talking about this before, that many of our Catholics had not been fully, for different reasons, fully catechized. And to approach them with a new kind of program to sort of fill in the gap. And that would be to create a program to introduce them to reintroduce them to Christ, reintroduce them to our religion, and help them to put Christ back into their lives, in their daily lives, in their weekly, their monthly, their annual lives. And Father Markey liked the program. He thought it was great. He said, but I have something better I want you to do. I have this Gospel of Life program, and I want you to grow it. And so he gave me the order, and I immediately said yes, and he sat back, and he said, what? You don't want to go sleep about it? And I said, no. I said, this sounds right. I'll take it on. So we began. What is the Gospel of Life? Gospel of Life Society is fashioned after the Evangelium Vitae by John Paul II. And the Evangelium Vitae is actually the Gospel of Life, which promotes culture of life versus culture of death. And it teaches us primarily how to love each other, how to groups to love, nations to love, how people in the world should be loving and treating each other. Starting from micro, that's the little family or little church, the family, up to macro, which would be our Catholic Church on this globe. And so we are following that as our guide. The Gospel of Life is therefore, as a result, what we need to do, or we feel that we need to do, is to help educate people as to what the Church's teachings are. And we decided to do it in a number of ways because Father Markey wanted to grow the society. So in everything we do, we try to be extremely versatile to explore various avenues and present information in ways that could be attractive and interesting to a variety, a full spectrum of people. And so our education of people and evangelization for culture of life takes a lot of different forms. One of the key forms is through our meetings. We meet on a monthly basis. And in those meetings, we cover various subjects. The subjects are everything from abortion to euthanasia, stem cell, cloning,
contraception,
marriage, IVF, same-sex marriage, traditional marriage. And we try to cover those subjects in such a way that we're not providing opinions, but instead providing facts. Our concern is that the audience that we're speaking to, which includes people, it includes priests, it includes educators, it includes universities, school students, is a wide spectrum of people. Who and organizations, who such as the pregnancy centers, who are at a deficit for having true information on the various issues. Most of the information that they have is biased. Like, for example, doctors. We're also talking to doctors. We have a number of doctors and nurses in our organization. And they rely on medical journals and pharmaceutical companies for their information, which are biased because pharmaceutical companies are involved in projects and scientific research that has to do with things that we consider, the church considers, to be immoral. And university students, universities are getting funding to do things that are immoral. Mm-hmm. So the information that our doctors, nurses, and students and various groups in society is getting is biased. So we sort of wanted to correct that. And so in our education through our meetings, we provide the truth. We do this by inviting speakers. We have experts coming in to talk. So, for example, when we were covering stem cell, we had a stem cell scientist come in, and he told us about the embryonic stem cell and why it couldn't possibly work, why mm-hmm. it will never work, how it produces cancers, and why we really need to go the direction of adult stem cell. And it's very interesting what he pointed out, and this always happens. We find so much more than we ever planned. He pointed out that in Europe, they kind of laugh at us over here.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, we've pointed out even on this show that there are biotech companies who specialize in stem cell research, and they list all of the different diseases that they're curing now, and they don't touch human embryonic stem cell research. They only use adult placental, you know, stem cell research. And you're right. I can see where they're laughing. And the big push was, well, we don't want to lose all of our top-notch scientists to, you know, foreign countries. Well, that's a laugh. All the top-notch scientists are going to Europe so they can do the real good stem cell research.
And when we talk with the various universities and other people and professors and scientists who talk to us, well, why is a segment of our medical society or organizations looking at and involved in embryonic stem cell? They say because that's where the funding is. That's where the government funding is. And so they're following the funding, they're following the money. Another example of our meetings, we also have nurses and doctors talk to us. And the doctors also gave us a great deal of truth. They said that in their medical training, they never really learned very much about the female reproductive system. In other words, they didn't learn about the risks of contraceptives. Mm. They didn't learn that contraceptives use artificial hormones. And guess what? They didn't learn about natural family planning and that they're all alternatives to contraceptives, that there are other things that doctors can do.
Right.
And so a number of the doctors really blew the whistle on this and spoke extensively and said, we've got to get involved in natural family planning.
Wow.
And we've got to use the Gospel of Life Society to promote it because they're destroying females. When they introduce artificial hormones to a female system, it's like introducing a poison.
Right.
And so
recognize the fact that those same hormones that were used for postmenopausal women were causing breast cancer, but we won't admit that that's also causing breast cancer in younger women who take the take them as contraceptives. The same product. So it's crazy that, you know, that more doctors don't know about these things. I didn't realize that they weren't even taught these things.
Yeah, and the doctors don't know also aren't really cognizant, and if they are, they don't communicate it to their patients that the contraceptives are also abortifacients. Mm-hmm. That means not only do they prevent the sperm from meeting the egg, but they can also, if it should accidentally happen that the sperm nevertheless it does meet the egg, that the embryo will not be able to implant in the uterus and will actually cause a silent abortion. And so we know that in the United States there are 4,000 abortions happening every day. Actually, since Roe versus Wade One-third of the American population has already been killed through abortions. What we don't know is how many have been killed through these silent abortions. How many more? Who are we slaughtering? How many are we slaughtering? What are we missing out on as a race?
And, so, and women should have the right to know these things.
They did, but they're not being told. Now, simultaneous to this, we had been, one of the other things that we do to educate is we get out into the universities and schools and we talk to the students and youth groups. And when we talk to the youth groups about pursuing a, we tell them all the risks of contraceptives, that they don't protect you against STD. And by the way, 30% of the time, the thing, the pill that most of you all rely on, doesn't work for different reasons. Like if you're taking a histamine, an antihistamine, it could make it less effective. Then the girls don't know this. So they're setting themselves up for high risk for having an unscheduled pregnancy. At any rate, when we get out and talk to them about chastity and abstinence, you know, we show them some information about contraceptives and abortion, and we also show them the psychological disadvantages of becoming engaged in free sex early in their lives. It's so destructive. Not only does it discourage them away from putting their time and energy into the things that they should be at their age, like they're studying, but also psychiatrists have found that it helps them to begin to treat the opposite sex as an object for pleasure. And it's very interesting that that's exactly what John Paul II said in Evangelium Vitae. He said, when you start placing emphasis on sex in the relationship versus coming together in the relationship to know and love each other, help each other towards God in heaven, what's going to happen is you'll start using each other as objects. And that's exactly what's happening. And when we talk to the children, they understand and they agree. And they've seen their parents. The interesting thing is they point out to us, they say, yeah, we see that in our parents. They're very indifferent to each other.
Wow, that's sad.
We don't want that. We don't want to become like that, because when the sex wears off, what's left?
Yeah.
And so the students told us that, you know, one of the things you have to do is talk to our doctors. Stop them from giving us contraceptives freely like it's candy.
Just, I remember even when I was a kid, and this was a long time ago, my mom taking me to the gynecologist for the first time, and, you know, because I had started my period. And she, you know, told me in the office without my mom, she says, well, you know, if you need the birth control pill, and I'm like, I didn't even know what birth control pill was at the time. She says, you know, you can come to me, I won't talk to tell your mom. And then when we met with my mom, she told my mom that that's what she had told me. And I mean, I wish my mom would have choked her, because I couldn't even believe it. I mean, I was 14 years old. I mean, what kind of, and that obviously is happening all over. And that is so scary that a doctor would do that, you know, to a child and not tell their mother.
And the teenagers tell us, they say, we're stuck. If you give out those contraceptives to us like it's candy, we can accept. I mean, free sex is really tempting. Yeah. So you've got to stop that, and then we'll have half a chance of pursuing abstinence and chastity.
Wow.
But don't rely on the schools to tell us, because they just teach us about free sex and abortion. You parents have to do it yourselves. So we took what they said to heart, and I was going to tell you that a number of the ways that we evangelize and educate is through our meetings. But in addition to meetings, we have minutes, and we have two websites, but we also have projects. And one of the projects we have going right now is a project to evangelize doctors to the Creighton model. And that is to teach doctors that there is an alternative, just the way we want to teach girls, that there's an alternative to abortion. We need to teach doctors that there are alternative ways to treating female problems. And we selected the Creighton model because it's so scientific. It's been developed for the past, since 1976 by Dr. Hilgers, that it's much more than just natural family planning. Mm-hmm. It also can be used to heal and to treat any type of female problem. And because that it's all natural, they use all natural hormones, what happens with it is that, and other methods, is that it's very successful because it cooperates with the body.
With the woman's body, yeah.
Instead of fighting the woman's body. And it's so reliable that the sex success rates are much better than you get, for example, with the pill. And in other areas, the success rates are very high. It can cure things that traditional doctors cannot cure because it cooperates with the body. An example is infertility.
Yeah.
A lot of women who are on contraceptives for a long period of time become infertile because the real hormones stop doing what they're supposed to be doing because there are artificial hormones in there. So they can correct infertility within a couple of months. Wow. There's no reason for any woman to have to go the IVF route.
Yeah, I saw Dr. Carpentier give a talk one time, and he uses the Creighton model, and he said that he can cure by natural products over 95% of his cases of infertility,
right,
which is mind-boggling considering of all the women who are going to in vitro fertilization. And if we could cure the women naturally, we wouldn't have to be leftover embryos to be tinkering with.
Unless that's
killing.
A goal.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're not killing two birds with one stone, but in a way we are. We're saving two birds with one stone, really.
I took the Creighton model practitioner's training.
Yeah.
And he was one of my instructors.
Oh, that's great.
He's very, very good. And so what we want to do is teach as other doctors. He said doctors just don't know.
No.
They didn't get it in the medical training. And it's not that they're not efficient, they're not good doctors, they're not good men. They just haven't been exposed. An example of the effectivity is that with regard to infertility, the success rate that they have with the Creighton model is 85%.
Wow.
With IVF, actually it's even higher. With IVF, it's 35%.
Wow.
That's a major difference.
Yeah. Wow. So it's not as costly either as in vitro fertilization.
And the only reason
it's not as dangerous.
That's right. And the only reason why they wouldn't be able to cure the infertility is if a woman has other problems or she's been on the contraceptive much too long.
Wow.
And her system has her reproductive system is almost closed down. And so they can't instigate it back into action again.
So how are you going to go about educating these doctors?
Well, what we set up is where we have a seminar that's happening on January 17th. As we started talking to the doctors who are already trained in Creighton Mono, they volunteered to be our speakers. And we talked with Sisters of Life. And they said, oh, you must be reading our minds. We wanted to do something like this.
Wow.
So we set up a one-day seminar, January 17, and the more we talked, the more we found that there were other groups in other states who wanted to do exactly the same thing. So this seminar is now a tri-state seminar for doctors and nurses in the tri-states, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, but also Pennsylvania and Rhode Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So doctors from all over are invited to this seminar, and does it cost anything?
It's very minimal cost of $45. It's on January 17th to Sisters of Life in Stanford. And you can find out about it by going to the website, the Gospel of Life website. And if you click on projects, you'll get to a page that lists all the projects that we have, many projects, because we try to have projects for different types of people with different types of interests. And look for the project called Medical Seminar.
And
click on Packet of Information, and you'll find everything, the cover letter, the invitation, etc. And if you want additional information, give me a call. And my number is 203-847-5727. I'd like to talk to you and just get as many people as we can to that seminar.
So anybody could download this letter and the flyer and send it to their own physician. if they would like their own OBGYN to learn about this model. Because I know, even my OBGYN, I know is Catholic, and I know he doesn't know anything about this. And it would be wonderful to have some trained physicians in the Southeast Connecticut. I know it's down in your area, but it's not that far to travel to learn
not
such valuable information.
And if they feel uncomfortable, because some people do, they don't know the Creighton model, they don't understand family planning, or especially the Creighton model, because it will do so much more, they can call me and I will pull their doctor. Or they can call me and talk to me about it, and I will give them some information. So I give them all of alternative ways to go. A number of the Gospel of Life people are doing that. They're giving me their doctor's name, and we will send the doctor a packet of information, which includes the cover letter, the invitation, a brochure, and a list of websites for the doctor to go to find out additional information.
Oh, that's
about
great.
Eight websites.
So it's better than to go to you, give you a call.
It's the better
and
way.
You will send the information to their doctor. That keeps them out of the
out
loop.
Out of the loop, right. And plus, then I will call up the doctor and follow up afterwards. And we have a number of mailing lists going out to him, impersonal mailing lists of doctors in all five states. The Sisters of Life, who are experts at putting on seminars, say we have the greatest success of getting doctors to the seminar when we're talking to your doctors
right.
of those of you who give us their names, and we send the packet of information and we follow up on it. So
yeah, that's a great idea. So your phone number again is
203-847-5727.
And what's the website?
And the website is the, I think you're showing it on the screen. Oh, it's stmarynorwalk.net.
stmarynorwalk.net. And
yes.
Then there's the Gospel
once
of Life.
You click on Gospel of Life. Yeah.
So your meetings, you meet once a month. Could you tell us a little bit about your meetings and the attendance that you draw?
We have about 400 members. The members come from all over Connecticut. Any given meeting, we usually have 25 to 35 attendants. Our speakers are usually shocked because for Saturday morning, that's quite good. The meetings are always the third Saturday of the month and at 10 o'clock after our 9 o'clock pro-life mass. They go from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock noon. And we have refreshments and the ladies who put out the refreshments do a very good job. At 12 o'clock when it's time to go, most people don't want to leave. Because people, members are all over Connecticut, not all of them can come to meetings, but they enjoy knowing what was covered. So I meticulously record the minutes, especially the speaker information, and send that out to them in the mail or through the email. And we also have all of the minutes on our website. If you go to the Gospel of Life website, and click on Gospel of Life, then also click on the library. And in the library, you'll find all of our minutes from January 2007.
Wow.
And so when you click on the minutes and you see them, you can it lists also the speakers. And you can see what speakers we had, what their topics were, and pick on the ones, select the ones that interest you the most. We will treat the Gospel of Life as a repository of information, not just the minutes, but other information like legislative information and information on our various projects. In addition to the minutes, we also have a mailer program where we seek to aggressively evangelize parishes. Now, we have 59 parishes with sponsors in them. We send out a monthly meeting announcement to all of the sponsors, and the sponsors put those, or try to put those meeting announcements in the bulletins of the parishes.
So that everybody's invited to come to the Gospel of Life meetings.
Right. Or at least they know about them.
Right.
But it's not always possible because sometimes the parish bulletins are chock full of their own activities. And so when that happens, we, in addition to putting out the bulletin announcement, we also send, through the sponsors to each parish, a flyer that can be put on bulletin boards. And so we'll have a flyer that goes with the subject of the month. And that way, by checking the bulletin board in the parish, everybody can become informed. This is a very slow, gentle way of evangelizing the people in the parish. Guess what? In the first year, we were a little discouraged. We weren't sure it was working so well. But now, after 2 years, we're finding it is working. And we hear people feeding back to us the very same information that we gave to them.
No.
So now when I talk to them on the phone, they'll call me up and they'll say, we know we have to go to that rally that's coming up with Family Institute of Connecticut.
Right.
Because when we don't show up, the legislators think that we are not pro-life. So it's really exciting. So one of the other activities that we have is the legislators. We do work with the lobbyists in Connecticut. And through our meetings, in our meetings, we also cover the legislative issues. And they keep us up to date on what are the key issues, what are the priorities, and what does everybody have to do. What petition do they have to sign? What letters should they write?
Who do they contact?
Who should they contact? What rallies or marches should they go to? And we let them all know. And I get that into the minutes, too. We have a number of projects. And two of the key projects I mentioned a little are our websites. There's the Gospel of Life website, but there's also another one called ConnecticutForWomen.com.
It's and CT four, Women.
Yeah, yep. CT, the number four, Women.com. We created that for young ladies who have unplanned pregnancies. The original idea was just to list all the pregnancy centers that we screened and that we felt comfortable with on this website for them so they have an alternative to abortion. But then one thing led to another. We were speaking with the girls in the colleges and youth groups, and they said, oh, you've got to add information about the contraceptives so I can show my friends, and you have to add information about abortion. And then they wanted information about HIV. And, well, one thing led to another. If you take a look at the website, it's got a lot of information. And we found that it was starting to be looked at from people all over the world.
Wow.
So from all corners of the world, they're coming in, even Africa, Australia, the UK, places that you would never, Israel, you would never think they're coming and looking. And you know what page they're looking at the most? I can tell through my tracking, is the baby development page.
Wow.
The one that has all the ultrasounds on it.
That's so
and
powerful.
And it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they see this is not a blob. This is a baby. Oh, what a beautiful baby it is. So we're educating not only the ladies in Connecticut, but the ladies around the world to the extent that now I have a page just for people coming in from other parts of the world called the student kiosk page.
Oh, that's right.
And we have a lot of interesting, like a potpourri of information for them on there, including inspirational movies for them to see, like WALL-E.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your information about the Gospel of Life.
You're very welcome.
We hope that you have learned something and that you can go to the website, stmarysnorwalk.net, and click on the Gospel of Life Society webpage. It's really full of a lot of information. And also check out ctforwomen.com. And we hope that you talk to your family and friends about the things that you learn here on The Face of Pro-Life. And when you look in the mirror the next time, you realize that yours, too, is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.